I bless you. Let's go out to the scriptures now. Let's go on to our word here this morning. We're going to talk about healing, our twofold redemption. Healing, our twofold redemption. In other words, healing, spiritual and physical. So we're talking about healing. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, King James Version. The Bible says that Isaiah is prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. He's saying, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We'll go to 1 Peter and Matthew 8:17 as well in a few minutes, but I want to just make this point here that our main objective, our main point this morning is that Jesus purchased your healing, my healing, our healing, the church's healing on Calvary. And at the same time, He brought our salvation. So, or at the same time, Jesus bought our salvation, He bought our healing. That's the point in Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 6, if you look at that. Isaiah 53, verse 3, 4, 5, and 6, we're going to see that. Jesus, the same time Jesus bought our salvation, the ability to be born again, to have a new spirit, to be saved, the same time He bought that, He bought our healing, our deliverance, and Jesus done that for us on the cross. Most believers can accept the fact that Jesus bought and paid the full salvation for them at Calvary when He was crucified between the two thieves. We haven't grasped the healing in the plan of God like we should have in the past. If we did, most church wouldn't be sick, needing medical help or assistance. There's nothing wrong with obtaining medical help. We all have had taken medications. We've all gone to doctors. But I believe if we really fully grasp the meaning of what it says in Isaiah 53, it wouldn't be very long where you'd be free without any kind of physical ailments. So we need to begin to shine the light more on this Isaiah 53. So God wants us all to be well, and He's made provision for us to receive healing because He laid on Jesus our sicknesses and our diseases and our pains. He paid the full price for it so that we can have healing today. So the following verse here in Isaiah 53:6 says that this is what is based on our salvation. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We are like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all." Let's have a look at the previous verses later and look at our discussion concerning healing, because we have been redeemed spiritually and physically. You know, when the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew and the New Testament was written in the Greek, here's a verse. From this verse, we ascertain the meaning of griefs and sorrows here over here in Isaiah 53 and 5, I believe it is over there. It says in here, we want to take the word griefs. Surely He had borne our griefs. It says Isaiah 53 and 4. It says, surely He had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. So we see here, the word griefs and the word sorrows all throughout the Old Testament is translated sicknesses and pains. So throughout this word griefs, the Old Testament is interpreted as disease and sickness. This word griefs itself, you see that all Deuteronomy 7:15, Isaiah 28 verse 61, 1 Kings 17:17, 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 2, chapter 8 chapter 8 verse 2, or chapter 8, verse 8, excuse me, 2 Chronicles 16, 12. We see all along, 21, verse 15. And we see, you know, the word sorrows is a Hebrew word, makab, and is rendered pain in other scriptures. Pain. So, you know, when you think about it, that Jesus took away our pain. That's both from a mental health issue and physical health. God gave us healing. Therefore, what Isaiah is saying, he says, surely he had borne our sicknesses. That's the way you should translate it. Surely he had borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. And if we get that in our spirit, we'll be able to obtain our healing, I believe. You know, but we've let our minds, we've lived through our minds too much. Whatever we put there in the past, and whatever someone told you about healing, and we've allowed that to penetrate our very core. In fact, even imprinted even in our spirit, so that we're stuck, and so we have to get all the garbage out in our spirit that's been put there, because our mind is the gateway to our spirit. And sometimes it's hard to shake that out of there, because it takes time. I want us to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone watching, that they'll grasp the meaning of the healing is in the redemption. I give you praise for everyone. I thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit, that you're our guide, our leader. And Father, in the name of Jesus, that every mind will be wide open, every heart to be wide open. So we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I want you to look at Matthew 8, 16 and 17 here. And you can check out through different commentaries about Matthew, Isaiah 54, 53, 4 and 5, and the rest of those scriptures. You can look at it and you can see that it checks out that what Matthew, Isaiah is saying about these verses of scriptures. When evening was come, Matthew 8, 16, when evening was come, they brought unto many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. I want you to notice in Matthew 8, 16, at the end of the 16th verse, it says, excuse me, and he healed all that were sick. Jesus healed all the sick, everyone that brought people who were possessed with devils, had demonic afflictions. The Bible said he cast out the spirit with his word. Now, we see that he cast out the spirit with his word. You know, he spoke the word of God, and the Bible says he also healed them. So we thank God for giving these guys, that they could receive their healing when Jesus spoke. I believe that Jesus ministered by the Spirit, but he also ministered by faith. So he spoke the word. I believe that, you know, whenever the Holy Spirit showed him, he spoke the word. He said, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The Bible says over here, Peter, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter mentions Isaiah's passages as well. And he said this, he said, whose own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. You know, the word bear signifies that he carried these. He took those. Jesus bared them. He carried them. He took it on. He carried like as a heavy burden. That's the word that it gives us here. Jesus bare as a heavy burden our sins in his own body on the tree. He's talking about the cross. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By Jesus' stripes you are healed. That's what we're trying to say. So Peter is quoting Isaiah 53, 5, where it says, by his stripes were healed. And Matthew is quoting Isaiah 53 in verse 4, where he said that he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus took our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our deficiencies. Jesus took them. Whatever weaknesses that you have, whatever kind of weakness you got, Jesus took it to the cross so that you can be strong. So that you don't have to be without any strength. Jesus has provided strength for you. He paid that on the cross for you. He suffered. He went there, and he took the cause of all sin, the cause of all that has caused us to be sick, Jesus took it to the cross. And so this is what Matthew is saying. Matthew's quoting Isaiah, and he's commentating about Isaiah. And he said that when Jesus was traveling there, Matthew 8:16, he said he healed all that was sick, that it might be that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So the scripture says that Matthew is quoting Isaiah, and he's commentating and he's substantiating in the new covenant, in the new of course, it's in the Gospels wasn't the full covenant yet, but he's talking about that, what Jesus was doing in his ministry. The Bible talks about how Jesus went about doing all, healing all that were sick. Matthew 9:35, talking about he went about all the towns and villages. He went around, and wherever he went, the Bible says in the Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal the sick." And he said that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is on me because he's anointed me to heal the sick. So he came about and he healed all that was sick. And so it says here, notice again the Matthew 8:16. He healed all that were sick. You know, some people like to say, if you're, part of different maybe denomination or certain people that tell you that healing is only for certain people. I know that's very prevalent today in our society, even people in your own church probably. They say, healing, I believe healing, all right, yeah, God heals, but he heals only sometimes, or he heals whoever he wants to heal. And so that doesn't give you much chance and much faith to believe anything. So you got to understand, is that in the redemption? Is that in the plan of God? Isaiah 53, over there, Isaiah 53, is the whole, where we get our whole idea of the plan of redemption. This is the foundation where we get salvation from. The idea of salvation comes from Isaiah 53. And it tells us that Jesus died for everyone. He died for all the people of the world. And so we thank God for this. Now, if you want to look at 1 Peter 2:24, it says this, "Whose own self bears sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed." So the key to our salvation in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 is found right there. It says the key to our physical redemption. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him; it put him to grief." It says here, Isaiah 53:10. It says, "The Lord was pleased to bruise him and put him to grief." The word, as I mentioned, the word grief is sick or sickness. God was pleased to make Jesus sick with your illnesses, your diseases. Now, he didn't literally become a leper; he didn't literally have a cancer, but the Bible tells us that the cause of all sickness was laid on Jesus. He took it to the cross, and he was nailed there. The Bible also said that it became sin. Yet Jesus never sinned. The Bible said he never did sin, not even one time. But he became sin on the cross. You know, we get the scripture over there. We see 2 Corinthians 5:17, that Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin. And so he became sin on the cross, and when he was on the cross, that's why he cried out to the Father, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" At that time, God had to turn his back on his Son because he became sin. And he died spiritually, just like Adam died spiritually. And then he was cut off from God, separated from his Father. I mean, that is something that happened. He did it for you and me. And then he died spiritually, and then he died physically. And so nobody killed him. The Roman soldiers didn't kill him. He gave up his own life. And so thank God that he did it for you and me. He didn't have to do that, but he did it for you and me. And so thank God for the fulfillment of the scriptures, that healing belongs to us. So healing is a gift, like salvation is a gift. It's already paid for at Calvary. All we need to do is accept it by faith. All we need to do is to possess it, possess the promise, like it already belongs to us right now. As children of God, we need to realize that healing belongs to you and me. The Bible says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as were our faces from him, and he is despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Like I said, Isaiah 53 holds the key to both our spiritual and physical redemption. The fourth verse reads like this in the Hebrew. Again, let's look at it. It says, surely, Isaiah 53, 4, surely he had borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. In verse 10, in the King James Version, it reads, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. Again, the word is sick. He put him to sick. Literally, it says, he had made him sick. That's the literal translation. Jesus was made sick with your sicknesses. Matthew 8, 17, again, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The word bear, again, we see that word bear. It means to carry like a heavy burden. He bare our sicknesses. Matthew is quoting Isaiah 53, 4 again. Here, I'm going to read this again. Therefore, you know, this is the correct translation. Surely he had borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. For, as Matthew said, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Dr. Robert Young, he's an able Hebrew scholar, author of Young's Analytical Concordance to the Bible. He translated this passage in his literal translation of the Bible in this way. He said, he is despised. This is Dr. Robert Young, Young's translation. He is despised and left to men, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness. And as one hiding from his face from us, he is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely our sicknesses had he borne, and our pains had he carried them, and we have esteemed him plagued and smitten of God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on him. And by the bruise, there is healing to us. All of us, like sheep, have wandered, each to his own way. We have turned. And Jehovah had cause to meet on him the punishment of us all. And Jehovah delighted to bruise him. He had made him sick. With transgressions he was numbered, and by sin of many had borne. For transgressors he interceded. This is Isaiah 53, 3 to 6, verse 10 and 12, according to Dr. Robert Young. And Dr. Robert Young, of course, wrote the Analytical Concordance in New Testament. If you find that, that's what he wrote. He's a very able scholar, Hebrew scholar, and he makes mentions of this. Dr. Isaac Lester's translation of the Hebrew Bible, a translation authorized to use by the Orthodox Jews, Dr. Isaac Lester, he reads, he is despised and shunned by men, a man of pains and acquainted with disease. But only our disease did he bear himself, and our pains he carried. And through his bruising was healing granted to us, but the Lord was pleased to crush him through disease. This is Isaiah 53, 4, 5, and 10. Dr. Isaac Lester, a Hebrew translator. And that's what he reads. He's the only, I believe he's the authorized Orthodox Jews translation of the Bible. Rotherham's translation, spelled R-O-T-H-E-R-H-A-M, Rotherham's. His emphasized Bible reads, he laid on him sickness. That's what he says, Rotherham. He laid on him sickness. Every church believes the portion of Isaiah 53:6. Every church believes that I know the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 6. This is where we get our foundation for salvation. So in Isaiah 53:6, you know, we look at that. That's where we get salvation, our idea of salvation. And he says in there that he laid on him the iniquity of us all. So why can't we believe the rest of the scriptures that Jesus laid our sicknesses, that God laid our sicknesses on Jesus? Why can't we believe that he laid our pains on Jesus? Because one reason is because we've never been taught that in our churches. I've never heard that one time in my church growing up as a kid. All I heard that Jesus died for sins, and we didn't know how to actually access that. I didn't know that until Billy Graham told me that. I was 24 years old when I got born again. And, most people, I don't know, we heard this all our lives, and yet we think we're saved, but we heard it. It's not just hearing something. It's beginning to ascertain it and beginning to grasp it and begin to accept it, begin to confess it, begin to receive it. I was looking at the word believe. What does the word believe mean? You know, it means to accept by as a fact. To believe something is to believe something is true. So you have to believe that that Bible is true. You have to believe that it's a fact. If you believe something, when you believe something, anything or anyone, you have to believe it's a fact. You have to believe that that person is true. So when you believe the Bible, you're believing that Isaiah 53 is a fact. Is Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 a fact? Isaiah 53, 6 about our salvation is a fact that God laid our iniquity, God laid our iniquities on Jesus, and we became, we can receive salvation. Why not believe Isaiah 53 and 4 that himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses? Why not believe that Isaiah 53 and verse 5 that by his stripes we are healed? It's a fact according to the scripture. We read to you from some scholars who, are Hebrew scholars. And so we need to see this in light of what the Bible says, not what man said, not what some denomination said. You know, man, people, preachers, are all on spiritual levels of development. They might have heard about it, but they never taught it. I know lots of stuff, but I haven't taught it yet. Because I'm not really, I'm not really set on doing preaching some things yet. Some pastors, they know it, they're in denominations, but they don't teach it yet. They're maybe not allowed to teach it. In some denominations, they don't hold to that. They believe that Jesus healed. He healed before, but he doesn't heal anymore. But God is still in the healing business today. He's still healing people. And he's still restoring lives. And so we got to be strong on that. So most people believe the fact, Shirley had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. They don't believe that fact, but they believe in the fact of Isaiah 53 and 6 that he took our infirmities, or he was pierced for our transgressions and so on, that salvation is granted to us. And so we need to believe the rest of the scriptures. Let me just read to you Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, the common English Bible. It says, in the common English Bible, it says, it was surely our sicknesses he had carried and our sufferings he had bore. But we thought him afflicted, struck down by God and tormented. He was pierced because of our rebellions and crushed because of our crimes. He bore the punishment that made us whole, and by his wounds we are healed. This is the Common English Bible. I like that. It's pretty clear, and it's a translation. It's not a, we have to see, read different scriptures that'll give you the light on certain things. Sometimes when the way some people say it, it makes more sense to you. Anything that makes sense to you, you need to read. So it's most agree that salvation was granted through redemption. They accept salvation or a new birth as part of God's plan. But why not believe that healing was granted to us? It's right there in the writings of Isaiah and Matthew's gospel and Peter's epistle, that he says that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It's in the same program. So we need to get the Word of God into us, get the Word of God in our spirits, and make that part of our lives. And so, like I said, some people just following a denomination or a man. But we need to follow. If that man or the denomination has the Word of God, then you can follow that person. But if it's not, if you can see it's not in the, they're not preaching the scripture right there, then you don't have to. I mean, still be friends, still hang around people, but you need to go to the scripture yourself, because someday you're going to need to know yourself. Lately I've noticed different ones that have been very sick, ministers and friends of mine that have been very sick, and. We and just because you got faith, it doesn't mean you're never going to be sick. Just because you believe in healing doesn't mean you're never going to have an attack. And you'll go through a spiritual battle. You're going to have to find out for yourself and stand on the Word of God to believe that healing belongs to you. Particularly, it's hard to stand when your life is on the line. And you have to make choices, and your life is on the line. And so it's very difficult with your family. How are you going to help someone who, you know, needs healing, and you're unsure yourself? How are you going to help people? How are you going to minister to people? How are you going to stick around for your family if you're sick? You know, there's times that, you know, you might not be sick right now, but there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to have to go through an attack. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe there's diabetes in your family. Maybe there's a tendency in your family to have that kind of illness. Maybe it's heart disease in your family. You're going to have to either believe that healing belongs to you or it's not belong to you. Maybe there's been cancer in your family and it's running through all your entire family. And you're going to have to make a stand and say, you know, Jesus took my sicknesses to the cross. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, every sickness, every grief, every sickness is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28, verse 61. Every sickness you can mention is a curse of the law. And your sickness, your cancer, your heart disease is a curse of the law. It's a curse. God didn't intend that for you. But the curse that was on, there came upon you in your family. You know, the Bible tells about that Adam, the curse, you know, he got, that's when he left, you know, the garden, when he sinned, the Bible said the curse came. And the Bible says it was in the world. It was on the man. And all sickness came. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and 17, I believe it is there, he says that God said to him that if you sin, or 3:17, if you disobey me, you'll die. And he didn't die for hundreds of years later. He's talking about dying spiritually. That means he was separated from God. You know, there's something called spiritual death. Spiritual death is when your spirit is separated from God. That's why a man has to be born again. And you see it throughout the entire scriptures that man is born again. And when you're born again, God renews your spirit and you become one again with God. You know, becoming back to the family of God. And so, when you're sick, you know, that's a curse. We don't have to walk in a curse because Galatians 3:16 or 3:13 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he became a curse for us on the cross. He became a curse. He took the curse of sickness on his body, on his spirit, and he died for us. And healing is granted to us. So sickness passed from me to him on the cross. And healing passed from him to me in my body, in this life. And so thank God, that's the grace of God working in our lives. So thank God for that. So we need to know the Word of God. We need to honor the Word of God. We need to honor what God's doing in our lives today. God is so good. You know, it's Pentecost Sunday, and the Word of God says that Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the Holy Ghost came on Jesus. You know, he had to be anointed because he was a man. He became a man, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus became a man. He gave up his deity. He became like you and me. And he became man. And he had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, like you and I have to be anointed. We have to receive the anointing. And so, we need to recognize, you know, this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Ghost is here. He's going to help you receive the word of God. He's going to help you with the healing that you need in your life. The Bible says he's our helper. He's here to help you and me in this time, in this hour when we need healing. So, you know, some of my friends, they're talking about, you know, they've had some really serious illnesses. And I've seen a whole pile of people have been sick with different things. And let me just tell you something about you know, when you understand that healing is in the redemptive plan of God, you don't even have to pray about anything. You don't have to pray that someone pray for healing yourself. You just say that's in God's plan. I make that mine. It's mine. I take it. I receive it. And as you commune with God, you don't have to have someone lay hands on you or anoint you with oil, or you don't have to wait for someone to come by with the gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to have someone to speak the Word of God over you. You don't have to have someone to lay hands on you. You don't have to have anything except that knowing the will of God for yourself, knowing what the plan of God, that God's plan for you is never to be sick. Thank God for divine healing and divine health or divine healing. Somebody said, I like divine healing, but I really love divine health better, where you never need to have someone to pray for you. Thank God for divine health. You don't have to be sick. You never have to have pain. So, you know, hey, we're in this world. Just because you're a faith person, it's because you believe in healing, it doesn't mean it's going to automatically come on you. You know, you're going to have to fight this spiritual battle to take that what's yours. You know, if you look in the Old Testament, when the Israelites went into Canaan land, the promised land, they had to fight giants. They had to fight the enemy. They had to fight all these enemies who was in that land that God gave them. They were there, but God gave them that land. There was enemies there, and the Lord says, "Go and take the land." But they had to fight to get that land, the promised land. It was promised to them. God gave it to them. And yet there was giants there. See, God has given you a promise in the Scripture. And so you're going to have to fight your giants. I don't know what your giants are. Is it cancer? Is it heart disease? Is it diabetes? Is it obesity? Is it addictions? Is all kinds of things. Is it poverty? Some people can't seem to get ahead in life. No matter how much money they get, they're always looking for money. But poverty is a curse. And so we need to break the curse of in our lives by becoming givers. Break the curse of poverty by being a giver. Say, I'm break this curse in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to give because God has delivered me from being poor. And so, you know, Canaan land is a type of the baptism of Holy Spirit, because some of us had to really fight to get it, because I had to fight through all kinds of thinking, all kinds of belief. Like when I was in my church, my denomination, they never taught about the baptism of Holy Spirit, but they mentioned it. They talked about the Pentecost Sunday, but none of the people I knew spoke in tongues. They talked about, oh, it's Pentecost Sunday. But I've never seen anybody get laid out on the floor. I never saw anybody dancing in the Spirit. I never saw anybody shout in the Spirit. I never saw anybody praising God. And they preached to us that since we were kids, it's Pentecost Sunday. I never saw anyone speak with tongues out loud, ever. Not one time, ever. In church or anywhere. And so it was hard for me to believe when someone came to me and told me that we can receive the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. He said, I can pray for you right now. And so I could not receive it. Everything in my mind recoiled against this man's offering that he can pray for me. I said, how could that? Man, with everything in my fiber of my being, I said, no, that could never be true. I could never have that. So he said, he kind of talked to me in believing that I could, and he showed me Scripture. And so when the Scripture was given to me, I began to, of course, have faith that it's there. So I prayed about it. I began to go before God every night. I'd go before God. I said, God, your word says this experience is mine. I can receive the Holy Ghost, and I'll take it. I want it. So about a month, I told my friend, I'm going to pray about a month. So I prayed every day. I did the best I could, the way I knew how. Went on my knees every night and asked God about this Holy Ghost. And I said, I want it. If it belongs to me, I want it. And so one day he invited me to to a meeting, and I didn't want to go. I was being nice to him, and I said, yeah, I'll go. So, you know, I thought, you know, hey, well, it's not going to hurt me. I'm just a new Christian, and I need friends. I need fellowship. So I went with him to this little church over on the east end of Thunder Bay, a Pentecostal church, and this man was preaching on the Holy Ghost. No, actually, he was not preaching on the Holy Ghost at that time, but he was preaching something else. He said, tonight we're going to pray. About the Holy Ghost, about the I'm going to preach about the blood of Jesus. No, he said, I'll preach about the blood of Jesus tonight. I want you to come. Then he pointed to me. He said, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when he pointed at me, the power of God hit me. And there was a witness on the inside of me that, whew, wow, I never felt that before. I never felt that something spiritual before. But I said, how do you know that? How did he know that I want the Holy Ghost? He said, I got to come back tonight. And that night I was supposed to go back to work in Kenora. Kenora is like, what is it, seven hours away, 6 hours. And I got to go to work. It's Sunday morning. And I said, I have to leave this afternoon so I can be rested up for, I got to go work for 8 o'clock in the morning. And so that night I went, my friend said, you know, we go back to church tonight. And I knew that I had to go back. I just sensed that, but I knew that I had to go to court, had to go to work tomorrow, and I had to go present some things at court for my job. And so when I was working for the Children's Aid Society, and I did my own law work back then, and they showed us how to do all the legal papers and did all the paralegal work that I had to do to represent myself in my cases. And so the church service, I believe, was 6 o'clock. And by the time I got out, it was 11 o'clock at night. I ain't going to drive at 12 o'clock at midnight, you know. So I was able to leave that morning, earlier that morning, and I was happy. But I got filled with the Holy Spirit that night. I mean, I had an experience that I've never had since. I went out into the spirit world and just in the presence of God. This whole world disappeared, became dim. The Bible says when the presence of God comes, you're in total peace. I came back to this world. I don't know if my spirit left or what, but I was back in my body. I became conscious of I was in church. But when I was in the spirit, I lost consciousness of my surroundings. I didn't know if I was in church or what was going on. But I was in the very presence of God. The peace of God was there. It was so wonderful. And that's my introduction to Pentecost, a real introduction to Pentecost. And I've had other experiences after that where the Holy Ghost came upon me, anointed me to be a minister. I've had those experiences. I've had different ones where I was had the Holy Spirit come upon me to do different things, to minister in signs and wonders, and ministering the Holy Spirit to other people by just speaking over them, pointing to people to be filled. Different things happen to me in that way. So I thank God for our Pentecostal experience. We're all Pentecostal people. We're people who believe in the Spirit. We believe and walk in the Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit is in you right now, teaching you, helping you, whatever you need in the things of God. Talk to Him. Ask Him to lead you and to guide you. And He will. I believe He will do it. I certainly believe He'll show you what to do. The Bible says, and Jesus said in John 16:13, that Holy Spirit will teach you things. He will show you things to come. He's a wonderful personality. He's wonderful. He's God. He's God manifested in our spirit. He's inside of us right now. The Holy Spirit is in us. It's wonderful to know that on the day of Pentecost, and Pastor Steve mentioned Acts chapter 2. Let me just go ahead and read Acts 2:4. Let me just look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Glory to God. How many of you are having a good time out there this morning? It's a lovely morning out there. I want to let you know. I know we're deviating a little bit from our healing, but healing belongs to all of us. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. I know Joel chapter 2 speaks about this. I believe it was Peter who was preaching, and he quoted Joel chapter 2. He said, what is this? When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they're all with one accord in one place. This is Acts 2 and verse 1. They were all with one accord in one place. This is the disciples who are so afraid. They're waiting. They're afraid what's going to happen to them. But the Holy Spirit came. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Let me tell you something. When I had an experience with the Holy Spirit, I sensed the wind of the Spirit. It came like this, you know, just came upon me. I just could sense it like just a strong wind. And it came upon me. It filled the house where they were sitting. Now, I don't know if anybody else could fill. My sister, Joanne, was with me. And so we went up to receive. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time I did. And she's speaking in tongues. I'm speaking in tongues. I didn't know about her, but we were both in the Spirit. And the Bible says, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 2-4 happened to me. I didn't even try to speak in tongues. I was already praying about a month about it. I'm hungry. So if you go to the table, and if you're hungry, you haven't eaten for a month, you get to the table, you're just eating food. I was like that spiritually. The Bible says that, open up your mouth, and God said, I'll fill it. He said, I'll fill the hungry hearted. So if you're hungry, the Lord God will fill you with the Spirit. So when I went up there, I was so hungry. The Bible says they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance. I spoke, but the Spirit gave utterance. I spoke, but He gave utterance. And so I'm there, and I was so filled with the Spirit, I'm speaking in tongues in another language. I could hear myself praying. I could hear myself praying. It's like I'm watching myself. I could hear myself speaking in this language. I'm hearing my own self speak in tongues. It's like I was somebody else. It's a, you know, what an experience to have. And you know, as powerful, I would say it was probably the most powerful encounter I had. That kind of encounter, I would say it because it was so impacted on me. I have other experiences, but it was not on me. But this is one I had. Why are you guys coming so close? Push back a little bit. Right there. Okay, good. So I don't want to notice all my teeth and everything. So anyway, this is, you know, spiritual things are different than the natural things. So I thank God for spiritual experiences. When I had that experience, as powerful as that experience was, it shook me. It changed me in a moment of time. I was so happy. I was so happy about life. I mean, this is it, man. This is wonderful. I wanted to tell everybody later on about I was filled with the Spirit. Everybody thought I was nuts. Even Christians thought I was crazy. I mean, I was too exuberant. At a Pentecostal church, they said, "Oh, you'll come down. So I'm amazed." People should have just encouraged me. Hey, man, that's wonderful. Let's go ahead and pray in tongues. Let me pray in tongues with you. Let me get filled too. I want to get filled again. But it's not just at one time you get filled. We need to get filled again. And if you are a Christian and maybe you've been filled with the Spirit one time and had a little experience, you need another dipping. You need a good dipping again. And the Bible says when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't care about anything. Thank God. I'm seeking that Holy Spirit again. I want another experience. I want a more powerful experience. I want more now than ever. Praise God. Amen. And so it's wonderful to know that you can have this experience right now. And so I had this experience. I'm driving back to Kenora. This is how the devil works. I'm driving down the road on Highway 17, going west. That way is west. And so I'm going west, and the devil came to me. The devil himself, or a demon, came to me and said to me, "Oh, you didn't have that experience. That never did happen." And you know what? for a minute, I almost believed it for a second. Yeah, did that really happen? I'm talking to myself, did that really happen? And it didn't happen. I was thinking, oh yeah. And it discouraged me for a little bit. I'm fighting, I'm having a spiritual battle with myself. And yet I had a powerful experience with the God of the universe. And the next day I'm driving and I'm doubting I had that experience. And it was such a wonderful experience. Now I want to show you something. Over in the, I believe it was Matthew. I want to show you the book of Matthew. I'm kind of just deviating here. The book of Matthew, chapter 3. I got my King James Bible here today, knowing that I might use it. It's Pentecostal Sunday. So Matthew chapter 3. If you go, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3 for a second. I want to show you something. Matthew chapter 3. And let's see here. If you can find where Jesus was baptized in the water, in the River Jordan. John chapter 3, I believe it. So right here, John chapter 3, verse 13. Let's read it. Verse 13 to 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. Verse 14, John chapter 3. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Verse 15. And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or he allowed him. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like him, like a dove lighting upon him. And he had this wonderful experience. What a wonderful experience that was. I mean, that's wonderful. People saw it. Jesus had a wonderful experience. Now, he's a man here. And he's being filled with the Holy Ghost. He's been endued with power from on high. And watch this. Verse chapter 4. And when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterward hungered. And the tempter came to him and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So right after his encounter with the Holy Spirit, the devil begins to question him, begins to put a question to him. Now, every time you have an encounter with God, every time you have something good from God, the devil is going to come by and try to dissuade you that it was not so, or you know, try to make it less than it was, than what it was, whether it's healing or whatever it was. And so, thank God that I was able to push that aside. And not only that, but God sent somebody to me and began to tell me he said to me that this experience is not for us today. A man of God, a man who's been, went to a theological seminary that I looked to, that I admired. And I was hanging around with this man, and he's helping me spiritually. And I told him I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. And he said to me, this experience is not for us today. And he tried to discourage me. I mean, this is a born-again Christian, a minister of the gospel. Said, this is not for me today. And so, I understood enough. I had enough sense to not talk to people like that anymore. And I went to the ones who actually accepted it. And so I don't understand why in this city, that some people that are from Pentecostal churches go to churches where they don't speak with tongues. It don't make any sense to me. They couldn't be. They need a fresh endowment of power. They need a fresh experience. You know, and so we need to go back to the basics of God. We need to believe in our salvation. We talked about earlier. We need a fresh understanding of what it means to be born again. You're not just forgiven. You have a brand new heart. You're a new person. So coming to Jesus means more than being forgiven, means more than one day you'll go to heaven. Being born again means that you're a new creation, that you have rights and privileges, that you, that you have promises of God, that you can be who you are, do what you can do, do what God's called you to do, and live your full time out on this world as a Christian. You can live as long as you want. Psalm 91:16 says, with long life will I satisfy and show my salvation. Ephesians 6:1 says that, obey your parents, Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother. This comes with a great promise that all will go well with you, that it means you'll be successful, and then that you'll live long on the earth. God wants all of us to live long on the earth. So we need to understand salvation. We need to understand about the baptism and the Spirit. We need to know about the Holy Ghost. We need to begin to embrace the power of God, to be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, wait for this promise of Spirit I'm sending on you, that you'll be endued with power from on high. And these disciples over here at Acts chapter 2 were endued with power from on high. The power of God.